This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Martin Luther King Jr.'s effect on America cannot be overstated. And while he fought for change and led the civil rights movement until his assassination, the need for racial justice continues today. On this Martin Luther King Day, we wanted to invite a multi-generational panel of Illinoisans, those who lived through and were active in the civil rights movement during King's time, teaching his legacy to the fight for racial justice among, or I should say, tracing his legacy in the fight for racial justice among activists from the younger generations today. To do this, we have with us now Father Joseph Brown, who's a professor in Africana Studies at Southern Illinois University, an ordained Jesuit priest, an activist, and an East St. Louis native. Hello, Father Brown. Welcome to the 21st.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We also have with us Nancy Maxwell, who's an activist in Carbondale, Illinois, and a founding member of the Southern Illinois Unity Coalition. Her mother was also notably a first cousin of the late Coretta Scott King, the wife of Martin Luther King. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
And we have two young activists with us as well. Drake Mateer is a member of the Black Students for Revolution at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Hello, Drake. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And Laquanda Renault is a community and youth organizer at Voice, Voices of Youth in Chicago Education. Hello, Laquanda. Thank you for being here as well.
Yes, thank you.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. We can take your calls on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Perhaps you have a memory to share, or maybe you were active in the civil rights movement in Illinois then, or the movement for Black Lives now. Or maybe you just want to share your thoughts. Give us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Father Brown, I want to begin with you. You grew up in East St. Louis. You were a student at St. Louis University on the day Martin Luther King was assassinated. Can you talk a little bit about that day and the days after in St. Louis?
I was somehow emotionally agitated all that day on April 4th. I didn't understand why. Being in the seminary, we had a house of studies on the St. Louis University campus, and my spirit was restless all that day. I'm not making this up after the fact. That's how I felt.
This is before you heard the news.
Oh, this was all day.
Yeah.
And so I just was agitated. I had the radio on in my room, and I couldn't do much. And I walked downstairs to the common recreation area where we had magazines on a rack. And I was just looking at a magazine when around 6:20, 6:30 in the evening, the regular TV show in the next room was interrupted with the bulletin that Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And I knew why I had been agitated all day. So I went back up to my dormitory room, lay down on the bed, listened to the radio. And then I got up, wrote a little poem about what I felt, laid back down, and I didn't talk for another 2 days. Given the aggressively reactionary and conservative nature of the Catholic Church where I was being educated, I wanted to go on the march that 2 days later through the city of St. Louis to honor his death and to do a protest about it. And the priest in charge of my program wouldn't let me out of the house. So I managed to get them to allow me to say a few words at dinner that night of the protest march, of the memorial march. And I brought the phonograph player down to the dining room and put on Mahalia Jackson singing Precious Lord. And I talked for about 5 or 6 minutes. And I went back upstairs and waited until another few days before I could really talk to people. But I have heard this said by so many people that we had been, my generation, I'm an exact contemporary of the people who did the Freedom Rides, the people who desegregated the Central High School in Little Rock. I had to desegregate a school system with my younger sister when I was only 12 and she was 8. When we moved from East St. Louis to Beloit, Wisconsin. So I had spent quite a bit of my time having to prove what qualities blackness carried. And I had been tired, exhausted by that. And when I went into the seminary, it didn't change. But when King was murdered, something woke up. Something woke up. And I think that an awful lot of people in their early 70s or middle 70s would say the same thing. We had been trying so hard to, quote, be a credit to our people, a credit to our race, and none of it seemed to matter. The better you were, the more likely you were to be murdered. And that went on. That has gone on ever since. But my shock to the system was both to feel the traumatic stress, but also to feel a sense of necessity to stand up, to be somebody, and to not count the consequences.
Nancy Maxwell, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You're a founding member of the Southern Illinois Unity Coalition. You're active in many organizations in Southern Illinois, but your activism began at a very young age and is very much in your blood. I understand, as I mentioned a moment ago, you're related to Coretta Scott King. Can you tell us a little bit about that connection?
Yes. My mother grew up with Coretta Scott King, and in fact, the house that she was born in is now a museum, because when my mother and her parents moved north, Coretta and her parents moved into the house. I only met her once. She used to sing opera, and she came to Chicago to do a performance, and she came by our house to give my mother tickets. And I remember my mother all wrapped up in this fur to go to this opera concert. And I also remember the day that Martin Luther King died. My mother was pressing my sister's hair with the hot comb, and we were listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it announced, and everybody in the house just started crying. And I just remember that day so vividly, of everybody crying, which made me cry, but I didn't quite understand what was going on, because I was a young child. I'm kind of the middle person this. In the 60s, I was a child.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Unfortunately, we need to take a break for our member stations right now. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment here on the 21st. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Martin Luther King Day. We're concluding our show today with a conversation, a panel of people involved in the civil rights movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, a multi-generational panel. Civil rights, the quest for civil rights then and now. We're speaking with Father Joseph Brown, who's an ordained Jesuit priest, an activist, East St. Louis native, also a professor of Africana studies at Southern Illinois University. Nancy Maxwell is an activist, founding member of the Southern Illinois Unity Coalition, as well as being involved in many other organizations. Drake Mater, who's a member of Black Students for Revolution at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Laquanda Renault, who's a youth organizer at Voices of Youth in Chicago Education. Nancy Maxwell, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you for a break. You were talking about your recollection of the day you learned of King's assassination. I don't know if you have more you want to say on that. And I also wanted to ask you about, given the fact that, you know, Martin Luther King, who is iconic for so many, the Kings were relations to your family. How did that influence how you were taught about him and how you remember him today?
It influenced me greatly. And I was really proud of that fact. And I can recall going to school and we had to give one quote about Martin Luther King. So when it got to me, they was like, well, what's your one quote of information you learned in the class? And I was like, Martin Luther King is my cousin. And I got sent to the office for lying, because I guess Martin Luther King can't have relatives significant. But I've always been proud. I always wanted to march and help But those opportunities wasn't that great as the opportunity is now. So I'm so proud of what we're doing here in Carbondale with the marching. We've been marching since George Floyd, and we have not stopped. I don't care if it's raining outside, if it's cold outside, we are keeping the movement going.
Yeah, well, I think I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that's a nice way to transition into to our two younger guests on the panel today. Drake Mateer, 2020 was a very challenging year for a lot of reasons, but as we've just been talking about, we saw this major mobilization, nationwide protests for racial justice in the wake of the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, so many others. What does Martin Luther King Day mean this year to you in the context of everything that's happened over the past 12 months?
Dr. King Day today, it mirrors the way Juneteenth was celebrated in 2020. It mirrors the way August, Black Revolutionary Month, was celebrated. The consciousness of the people, the consciousness of the society, the consciousness are rising. They're rising. And people are waking up to and realizing the contradictions of American society and capitalism. So today is very special, because today we can look and clearly identify the true Dr. King, not the Dr. King that white America has tried to dilute. The Dr. King that they have tried to paint as someone who is pro-capitalism or pro-American democracy, but Dr. King was an anti-imperialist. He was an anti-capitalist. He was a socialist. He called for the redistribution of economics. And so this day, today, and this year, especially given the times that we are in some exciting times. We are in decolonizing times, because the time for opportunity, for new possibilities, is here. So Dr. King today is a day for everyone to reflect. It is a day for everyone to really investigate who Dr. King was, what he meant, and what he stood by. And then moving on with where do we go on from here? And I think that's why today is so special. I mean, American democracy is on its last leg, as we saw following the events of January 6th. So the chickens coming home truths, even though Malcolm said that, the words of Dr. King, the times have not changed. They are still here, unfortunately. Nothing has changed as much. But again, I'll leave with that one.
Okay. LaQuanda Renaud, I want to ask you the same question. You're an activist, community organizer for Voices of Youth in Chicago Education. How does Dr. King's legacy reverberate today in your life, your work, and in the communities you're active with?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, it's a day of reflection. It's always important for us to think about and learn the truth about our Black history, and do our own analysis that we have where we came from, and how do we pass that on to our younger generation? How do we learn from what Dr. King did? How do we build on that? Because, like we know, it's still a lot of the things that Dr. King fought against is still some of the things that we're fighting against now. It's still police brutality going on. It's still systematic racism that's embedded in our history. And so today is the day that we look at and feel good about the things that we have come far from, right? From because Dr. King was someone who stood up for what was right, and he did fight a hard fight. But it's also the day that we think about what else can we do to push us further. And that's really, I've learned too from working with young people, and even in my own experience of just having that piece of education, that true Black history of where I come from, and passing that on, it gives you so much strength. to continue through the fight. It gives you so much strength to make for sure and stay committed to what we're doing, because it does get hard. But when you do have an understanding that it's people that's before you that did some amazing things and had to go through so much, it helps to push you even further. So I just really think about this day as a day of reflection, and to think around, like, how do we you know, continue to push forward and be thankful for the changes that has come.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the life and legacy of Martin Luther King on this Martin Luther King Day. We're speaking with Laquanda Renaud, who's an activist in Chicago, Drake Mateer, who's an activist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Also with us are Nancy Maxwell, an activist from Southern Illinois, and Father Joseph Brown, who's an activist, a priest, and a professor at Southern Illinois University. I want to go now to the phones. 800-222-9455 is the number. Nia is on the line from Springfield. Hello again, Nia. How are you?
How are you doing, Brian?
I'm great doing well. Show Thanks. Today. Thank you. Thanks for calling
in. I just wanted to say that I was a student during the Civil Rights Movement, and I went to a HCBU school, and you could not be on a campus of a HCBU school without being involved in the Civil Rights Movement, whether you wanted to or not. And I met Dr. King, you know, as a student, and I also met one of the sheroes of the movement, stayed in my dorm room during the Poor People's Campaign that was going on. They were on their way to Washington, D.C., the late Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer. So, you know. And if I had not gone to one of those schools, I don't think I would have had that experience.
That's fascinating. Thank you so much for calling in, Nia. Father Brown, I want to ask you, when you hear Drake and Laquanda speaking about Dr. King's legacy and the influence he's had on them as young activists, I'm curious what thoughts you have as someone who is active in the civil rights movement, where you see us today, where you see the work to be done in the fight for racial justice through the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, I would like to, first of all, make this very clear. For most of us, being an activist means leaving the house. I think standing still in the middle of a storm is quite a bit of activism. Did I organize protest movements? No, but I started teaching on a college campus in 1968. 3 months after King was murdered in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins in graduate school, and I had to watch my students put themselves at risk and stand with them. But I have been a student of history since I was about 3 or 4 years old, and my father's mother used to tell me stories about the family photographs she had in her bedroom. And one of the things I know is this: W.E.B. Du Bois says at the very end of The Souls of Black Folks, published in 1903, "Your country, how came it to be yours? We were here before." Now, every person that we should be lifting up as experts or pioneers or role models were in their teens and 20s when they started. So when I hear these two young people, I'm just saying you are confirming everything I know about American history. But that started with the slave ships. They weren't bringing 70-year-old people across the ocean. They were bringing great young children, teenagers, and young adults who had to create a new culture of what I call the three points: resistance, persistence, and then transcendence. So these young people are doing exactly what we have always depended on in this country. To hear people talk, to hear the young man talk about King is being valorized and remembered for all sorts of things that aren't true. Of course he was a socialist. In his great speech, "Where Do We Go From Here?" he talks about how we have to have a guaranteed income in this country. Thank you, senators and progressives in Congress, Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez. I'm happy about all that. But give King credit let us remember that he died because of his beliefs and his persistence. And these young people, and as the caller in from Springfield said, you look at the people who started the Freedom Rides. A lot of them came out of HBCUs and were threatened with, don't you go out there and do this or else we may not be. Nikki Giovanni didn't get her undergraduate degree until about 10, 15 years ago because she left Fisk to get out there and do things. Hmm. Young people are doing it, and they are doing it brilliantly. They are intuitively connected to the best, deepest roots of our resistance. And so I am nothing but proud, after 50-some years of teaching, to see young people taking up what Harriet Tubman did, what Frederick Douglass did, what Sojourner Truth did, what Fannie Lou Hamer did. The young people taking the risk to say, we are here, we belong here, and this is our country, in some ways more so than the white supremacists.
Laquanda, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. As we look toward the future and the fight for racial justice continues, what do you wish for on this Martin Luther King Day?
The reason why I do this work is because it's the fight to see something, to see that vision that Martin Luther King painted for our generations. Because I don't know what it come in my lifetime, but you know, the next generations to come, my children, the young people that I work with, but to really see a world where the systematic racism that's been embedded into our history, that we're Black people are started to look like as if we're human, because that's all that we're asking for, you know, to be treated as our other counterparts are treated. And that's a big wish, that's a big goal, but if King could have it, and he set forth the work to do and push forward for us to make some changes, that's the reason why I do my work too, because I wanna see us make those big strides to be passed on, because we have to make the world a better place for our generations to come.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to leave our conversation there. I think that's a great place to end it. Laquanda Renaud is a youth organizer at Voice, which is Voices of Youth in Chicago Education. We've also been speaking with Father Joseph Brown, a professor of Africana Studies at Southern Illinois University, a Jesuit priest, activist, and a native of East St. Louis. Also with us were Nancy Maxwell, activist and founding member of the Southern Illinois Unity Coalition, and Drake Mateer, who's a co-founder of the Champaign County Anti-Racist Coalition and a member for Black Students for Revolution at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you all so much for spending part of your Martin Luther King Day with us on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.